And I now introduce tonight's satsang, What is Mental Health? A Participatory Satsang.
I mean, I realize that having a participatory satsang with this group, it's like asking the people in the asylum to, do therapy on others. But I'm willing to risk it. And okay, I want to start with a story. There was a story of a person who was feeling kind of a little out of balance, off-centered, etc. So he spoke to his friends about it, and he asked them what he should do. And so they all gave him the standard response. He spoke to about five or six of his friends, and they all said the same thing: go see a psychiatrist. Okay, so he went and he saw a psychiatrist, and after about 10 or 12 minutes, the doctor said, okay, I've reached my diagnosis. And the guy said, well, wait a second now, I've spent, $500 for a session with you, and you only give me 12 minutes or 10 minutes. And I said, well, I've reached my diagnosis. And don't worry, your money's well spent. I'm the head of the department. I'm considered a leading expert in my field. You've made a good investment. So the guy says, okay, what's your diagnosis? And the doctor looks at him, leans back in his chair and says, you're crazy. And the guy says, what do you mean I'm crazy? This is ridiculous. I'm going to go and get a second opinion. At which point the doctor leans back in his chair again, looks at him and says, okay, you're ugly too. All right, so that's the great second opinion story. All right, and so we have this thing called mental health. I think it's wonderful. It really says a few things about doctor and patient and the whole system. But anyway, we have this thing called mental health, okay? And I thought, I know you're not going to be able to compete with that incredible story that I opened up with, but I thought that I would ask you that question, okay? What do you think mental health is? Okay? And anyone is free to share. What's mental health?
Is mental health not identifying with things of the mental realm?
Okay. Is mental health not identifying with things of the mental realm? Okay. All right. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. Go ahead. Oh, back
no,
there.
It's not there.
I'm sorry?
Knowing it's not there.
Knowing what's not there?
Well, mental health isn't there. It's beyond.
Oh, okay. You mean it's not here? It's beyond?
It's not in the mental.
Oh, okay. Mental health. Okay, that's kind of what was said. Mental health isn't in the mental. Okay. All right. Okay, mental health is aligning your mind with spirit. Okay, all right. Anybody else in phone land like to share?
Being centered.
Being centered. Okay, all right. What else? Anybody else? We have a couple of mental health professionals. What about what you think mental health is?
Being optimistically involved in living your everyday life, being on top of things in an okay way, hopeful, but
Okay, so being optimistic and hopeful, yeah, and involved in your everyday life.
Living your life, breathing in, breathing out, and you know you're okay, with some elements of joie de vivre.
Okay.
I think real mental health is proper identification of
spirit. Okay, all right. Real mental health is proper identification of spirit. Okay. And anybody else like to share?
I guess like the same thing. I know that health is proper identification, is staying present.
Okay.
So I'm not sure you can parse it into anything else.
All right, so health is being one with the spirit you are. Mental health is what?
Well, there's just one health, and I suppose that would...
Okay, there's just one health.
Yes, one health.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Wow, this is a pretty good group. Pretty sophisticated. I really didn't need to have any fears about posing this question to you all. Okay? Yeah, and I'll probably say it my way, and then I'll describe it. But it's pretty close to what you've been saying, if not the same, at least to some of you. Okay, mental health is God's victory in us. Okay? Mental health is God's victory in us. Okay? What does that mean? Okay? Well, it means what it says. Okay? So we're an all-initiate group, so I can break it down a little differently. That we know we live on... The soul that we have lives on many levels simultaneously, okay? Starting from the physical, we have the physical, the astral, the causal, the mental, the etheric, and then the soul realm, okay? When you take the gift of initiation, you get the keys to all those realms, okay? And also... The soul is sparked awake, and so you're able to access and go into the soul body. Okay? You're able to go in. Yes?
I'm sorry to bother you, but we do have one non-initiate here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
All right. Was that introduced?
No, Richard's here.
Okay, all right. Well, all right, thank you for the bother. All right, not a problem. Okay, because it'll come in as it comes in, but Richard, okay, so, all right, well, it was a kind of for the, so it comes in, so the soul lives on all these levels simultaneously and is awakened, okay? And it's through the gift of initiation. It's sparked awake, sparked awake, sparked awake, sparked awake. Okay? And guess what? The soul eventually will be able to know simultaneously that it's alive and hold the consciousness at all those levels. Okay? So that's the fullness of life, as it were, in the dual worlds of the soul. And then, of course, there are many more levels beyond the soul realm or eternal life, when the soul is no longer subject to karma and reincarnation. All right, so that's important to know that. It goes into the soul realm, where it enters into eternal life, and it's no longer subject to karma and reincarnation, okay? But God's given us free will, so we can always choose into that. We can always choose into that, all right? So we can choose into karma and reincarnation, or we can choose into our freedom, all right? And ain't that a kick? And why is that a kick, okay? Because we're always exercising free will. You know, and some of us have mocked it up. Oh, you know, I'll go home, and then that's it, you know. I'll just go home while I'm in the body, and I don't have any more choice. And I'll just be in eternal life. But you have to choose it consciously. Be eternally vigilant. Be eternally vigilant. And that's what's important. We have to be eternally vigilant. Okay. So we have this thing called the mind mental health. All right. And that's when God's victorious in us. So what does it mean for God to be victorious in us? Well, the victory, the ultimate victory of being established and being with God, being in the soul realm while we're in the body, okay? And that's what mental health is, okay? Now, usually in the everyday world, what passes for mental health is when feelings and thoughts are hooked up. Okay, they're connected. And when they're disconnected, you get a lot of disassociated or crazy people. Okay? All right. But when God's victorious in us, that means we've conquered those realms. Okay, so if we've conquered those realms, okay, I'm going to have to ask someone to mute his or her phone because there's just feedback right back into me. So please check to see if your phone is muted or not. Okay. All right. That's better. So there we have this thing called mental health. And what happens? Okay. We've thoughts, we have feelings, and we've attached until there's this victory in us, until we get clear. And then when we get clear, that's when we start having mental health, because mental health means that we're at wholeness in the mind, okay? And it was said, well, to make the mind in alignment with spirit, never going to happen. Ain't no such thing. Okay? It's not going to happen for the simple reason that the mind can't go to spirit. It's not equipped. It sits in the negative worlds. Okay? But, and perhaps this is what the person was trying to get at, is that the mind is to be a servant of spirit, okay, of God, okay, and that comes about by its being clear or empty. Then it can receive and act as the interface with spirit in this world. Okay, you're not, as an ego task, going to align my mind with God's mind. Good luck. How are you going to do that? Your mind sits in the negative polarity. It can't handle the frequency of spirit. You've set yourself up for something impossible. But what it can do is it can be clear, and that's how the space is created to receive spirit. Okay, and just to be technically correct, okay, there's nowhere in the inner worlds below the soul realm while you're in the body that there's not going to be karma, okay? There's always going to be a little karma left. Otherwise, you'd be crazy, okay? And when it comes time to leave your earthly sojourn, okay, as an initiated soul, your soul gets pulled up, as it were. Okay, and it gets pulled up, okay, and the karma is left behind, okay? But just so you can be here in the physical, okay, there's a little bit of karma left in each of those realms in the lower worlds. Okay? The physical, the astral, the causal, the mental, the etheric, okay, and the soul. Okay? So to be mentally healthy means to be available to spirit. Guess what that means? You don't have an agenda. You don't have thoughts that you superimpose on it or condition it. You can't condition being with God. You know? See, and service is such a wonderful opportunity to have that happen. And it's fantastic to me because I see so many people given this wonderful opportunity and conditioning it, conditioning service, conditioning it with their thoughts. Oh, I won't do this, or I don't want to do this, or that's not service, or you know what? I'm doing 47% of the work. That person's only doing 42.5%. You know, that's not fair. Okay? And so you condition it and you pull back. Okay? And that's choosing into karma and away from spirit. Okay? And isn't it funny that here we are in an age where you could see it from with the age of computers, with the age of technology, and you could see it also from the frequency that so-called spiritual leaders are vibrating at, people who are regarded as such. This is a very we're at the mental as a whole, basically. It's a real explosion of the mental, so that there are a lot of inventions, there's a lot of technology, there's all that going on, okay? Creativity that way, all right? And isn't it interesting, okay, that real artistic expression, okay, has to do with you go along the mental realm and you synthesize things in a totally different way, in a new way. You put things together. And what's new is the synthesis. What's new is how you understand them, how you work them together, how you couple them, as it were, okay, or what you do with it. That's what's new. That's what's creative, okay? But being creative spiritually is something else, okay? Being creative spiritually has to do with the simple fact that in the soul realm above, creation isn't finished. Okay, is not finished. Okay, so mental health, when we're making ourselves available to spirit, then we have a wonderful opportunity to, guess what? To create spiritually. And not just simply putting together new combinations of old things, old thoughts, or anything else like that. But we can create in the inner worlds. Okay. So let's just say you're doing positive co-creation with God. You're creating something in the inner worlds. It has to exist inwardly. That's pretty powerful. Okay? But if you're choosing into karma and you're choosing to work things mentally, then you're going to have to what? You're going to have to manipulate. You're going to have to strive. You're going to have to struggle. It's not going to be easy and it's not going to be effortless. It's going to be filled with karma and effort. And some of you have had real opportunities to see what happens when you do choose into karma and how it affects others. And things really get botched up, or there's so much more work that needs to be done. Right? So being mentally healthy helps to make things effortless, helps to make things easy, and you feel better. Because guess what? There's not going to be resistance in you. And you're just going to allow and allow. We know where the power is. Power is in surrender. So you surrender to the Lord God. Bingo. Okay, and isn't it funny that in this world, particularly this culture, that's regarded as crazy? You know? And the numbers game is played also. You know? There are 4,220,000 people that believe this. Oh, it must be so. You know? And if you're honest, ask yourself, do you share what you're involved with? Or do you protect yourself? Do you worry about what other people are going to think? You share that you play tennis. You share that you watched some movie. You share that you went to this restaurant and had this meal. Okay? But do you share what you're really doing spiritually? Probably not. You probably hide that and protect it because you think that's crazy. So we're wired in a funny way. The very thing we think or we know to be true and to be so, because it's been so marginalized in the world, we treat it very shabbily and we hide it. Instead of, even though we know people are dying for it, well, that's okay. Let them die. And they don't get, you know, I had a really interesting experience. And I share this, we're making this wonderful, Doey is doing her master's thesis. And it's a wonderful 10-part taping, shows on different aspects of the teachings. And we were taping the other day, and I shared this experience I had of hearing someone sing. And I heard this person sing, and I was livid. I was furious. Why was I so angry at this person? Because this person had a beautiful, magnificent voice. And because of all the mental stuff and cogitation and conditioning of it, she hadn't sung and hadn't given it to others and hadn't shared it for years and years and years. She was hiding this. And my anger was, well, who the hell is this person? Who does she think she is to hide this incredible gift? And that's what we do when we choose into our karma, when we choose into our thoughts, when we condition stuff. And when we're doing service, okay, really we're hiding from the Lord, God, because, and basically it's because we don't feel good enough. We don't feel good enough about ourselves. We just don't feel good enough about ourselves. So we hide it. We don't want God to see us because that's being nude in the Garden of Eden. So we go and hide, and we have this thing called shame. Shame, of course, means we don't measure up to this ideal. You know? You know, religions didn't come up with this. They just picked it up and ran with it. You know? They didn't invent it. Okay, so mental health means knowing that we're good enough for the Lord God. And of course, we have to. If God's won his victory in us, hey. Okay, so, you know, and part of the symptoms, as it were, in quotes, is you feel joie de vivre. you feel unfettered and alive. Thank you, Joni Mitchell, from her Blue album. You know, I was a free man in Paris. I felt unfettered and alive. Okay, and we really do. We feel unfettered and alive. Okay, and we know that the shackles are of our fear, of our pain, of our doubt, of our separation, of our hurt. Okay? All right, so if I have a thought, you see, then I'm going to have an association with it. I'm going to have a feeling with it. I'm probably going to have some memories with it. Okay? So it's never clear. It's all lumped together in this mishmash. How is that being free? I thought it was real interesting. I was reading an article recently, and it was about this. Oh, she was a revered psychologist, and she was doing experiments on with infants, with babies, because she wanted to get at what knowledge really is, and what do they come in with, as it were. And she made this really interesting comment. She said, boy, for 30 years, I've been doing these, you know, these experiments. They were well regarded. They got into the best journals. And, you know, and I'm an esteemed academic. Boy, was I stupid. All I had to do was watch these babies interact with people. Interact with people. Okay? Now, of course, if she had known the teaching, she would have known about basic selves, and basic selves, that's what they do. Okay? They just want to be with others, like others, etc., etc. Okay? But it took her 30 years of heavy-duty experimentation, and maybe it was compounded by the fact that she was well-regarded and her experiments were so well-regarded, before she could throw them out and say, no, this isn't it. This ain't it. I'm going to watch and see how babies respond with people around. And she made some incredible findings. You know, that babies will interact more with someone, regardless of their race, didn't matter. Regardless of their race, if they spoke not only the same language, but if they spoke it the same way. And so she did experiments. So having babies and people, different races, speaking the same language in the same accent. Then she had them with different regional accents. Then she had them with same race, different regional accents, same race, different language. And so she did this academic fostering of kids, babies, they'll pay attention more and work with people more when the language is the same and it's in the same accent that they have. Okay? And I thought the article was very interesting, because she couldn't quite understand why she had gone down a road for 30 years that was totally beside the point of what she was trying to get at. And not only that, but the work she was doing was really well regarded, even though it wasn't at all what she was trying to get at. And I thought, well, this is really interesting, you know? Doesn't she know how blessed she is? It only took her 30 years to get beyond her mindset, beyond that karma that's there. That's pretty good. Now take a look at the race as a whole. Take a look at it. All this karma we create, we create, we create. Can we get past it? Do we choose to get past it? No, it just goes over and over and over, round and round and round and round. There we go, back and forth. Oh, another war. Oh, yeah, what's the cause of this? Well, you know, you don't really want to know, do you? Oh, yeah, tell me, tell me. Oh, it was about 1,000 years ago when you forced these people to convert, you know, at the point of a knife at their throat. Oh, no, when did this start? Oh, remember when you guys were, like, wandering around in the sands there in the desert? Remember, and causing some problems with, like, every tribe you ran into, you know? Oh, when did this start? Remember the Crusades? Oh, when did this start? You know? And it goes round and round and round and round and round. Okay? And I thought this psychologist was really blessed. It just dawned on her after only 30 years. Wow, if the human race could have the, you know, what it's, what the truth of its being is dawn on it after 30 years. Wow, that'd be something, okay? But karma creates all this miasma and we don't see clearly. We're blind. Okay? So when we have God's victory in us, then guess what? Guess what? The karma has been cleared. We get to see freely. So we can really do what we have to do in this world much more effectively. And we're not sidetracked. See? And we may not get the approval. We may not get the applause. You know, that's a tricky thing. Look what that article was saying. She was getting all the kudos, all the applause, up the kazoo. They were supporting her going down the wrong road. Okay? But when we're in mental health, guess what? We don't worry about that. The support is an inner support, and we have the support of spirit. We have the support of the teacher. What's more powerful than being supported by spirit? Okay? See, and if we're mentally healthy, we don't have these inner arguments. We don't keep picking at ourselves. And at the same time, we don't slough off the truth because we know we're worthy and we can receive it. You know, and I watch many people slough off the truth. You know, whether they do it with shrugging their shoulders or swatting away with their hand, or whether they do it inside themselves only, they're shrugging off the simple truth that we are spirit and that God lives in us as us, okay? And the spiritual truth is that eventually every soul is going home. Every soul is going to know itself as spirit, as soul, and finish up here. Okay? And to fight the inevitable, to me, that's crazy. If you know something's going to happen, you go with it. You know? If you're going to have a baby, you're going to fight it, or you're going to go with it? You know? And isn't the whole natural birth phenomenon just learning to be in harmony with that flow? You go with it. You don't resist. Okay, you just go. You go with the inner flow of spirit. Okay, so if you're resisting, that's a sure sign that you need to check into the mental health clinic. Inside, whoa, I gotta go to the clinic. Okay. Well, who's the doc in the clinic? Well, this doc is not going to turn to you and say, you know, you're crazy. Not only you're crazy, but you're ugly too. Doc's not going to do that. Okay? The doc is going to say you're loved unconditionally. It's okay. Accept where you're at and your thoughts and what you've done based on them, etc., etc. And we're going to start right now. And we're going to start right now. And we're going to start right now. And forgiveness is the key. We're going to start right now. We're going to start right now. And we're born anew each and every second. That's what they do in the clinic, in the mental health clinic that's run by God. And the nice thing is you don't have to worry about filling out insurance forms. You don't have to worry about getting reimbursed. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff, okay? And you don't even have to worry about commuting to the mental health clinic. It's right there. It's right there. It's open 24 hours a day. It's available. The doc is the only doc I've ever seen who knows what the hell he's really doing. We'll stop with that. Okay, well, if I haven't gone crazy, I'll be back in 5 minutes and you can ask me some questions. Are there any questions in phone land?
Dr. Lane?
Yes.
Lee? I just want to apologize. My Skype kept falling off over and over again, and I kept trying to get back on, and it wouldn't let me get back on, so I'm on my cell phone right now.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you joined us, rejoined us.
Thank you. It's very strange. I've never had so many disruptions before, so I've pretty much missed most of Satsang.
Okay, well, pick up the CD or MP3.
Yeah, I'd love to have an MP3.
Okay.
And I'm on my cell phone now. I don't know how to turn off the call waiting feature.
Okay, Lee, it's okay.
Okay.
All right, it's okay, but I, you know, it's no, if I were a betting man, I would bet that it's no coincidence that this happened when there's a satsang on mental health. And
I know.
And okay, so that up until now there are a lot of disruptions in your life that you allow to disrupt you. So it's really all about holding the focus and returning to it.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I have to say I was just going to say, no, I'm not going to try this again, and let me find another way, and, you know, call waiting be damned. So I decided I still need to be with the satsang.
Okay, good. Well, that was a good decision, okay? And always know that you can focus into spirit.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise you're doing what you're doing to this call waiting, whatever you said, be damned. You're damning, you're damning yourself. And so I really suggest you refrain from that, because I've actually seen that happen spiritually. I don't wish that on any soul.
Okay. So how should I correct that?
Well, it's all right. It's take the learning and move on.
Okay.
One per customer.
That's it.
That's that's it.
Thank you, Dr. Lane.
Sure, sure. Okay, who else would like to share?
I have a question, Dr. Lane.
Sure.
This is Amy.
Mm-hmm.
What I heard in the satsang was that sometimes we, the initiates, don't share what we're involved with because we have a fear of what others may think. And my question about that is, what is okay to share? Because I've also had the understanding that sometimes you can't share certain things because people aren't ready for it, or they won't understand it.
Yeah, well, this, I don't want to get sidetracked into that, into that sort of stuff. I don't know if it's appropriate, but all I meant was that there's a part in us that may feel ashamed that we are being focused in the spirit we are. We are actually fulfilling our purpose. And somehow it's not ideal in the ways of the world, and so we feel ashamed. So I really was saying that. You can simply share what you are involved with, that you are involved with the spiritual progression involving knowing yourself as soul, as spirit, and it's an initiatory path, and fulfilling your purpose here on this planet. That's all. And then you know the mental cogitation will go, but and they don't really want an answer. They just want to bark some more, you know. So just to turn them towards where they can have the experience. That's all. Through meditation, etc. You may want to give them a tool, but be careful that they don't keep asking you a whole bunch of questions like, oh, in the second line, there's the word the. What does the mean? Okay, but I really was talking about, you know, how inside out things are and how we condition things and the sense of shame that we have with us. Okay, because we don't measure up to the things of the world, and yet here we are fulfilling our purpose in the world. Okay, so I hope that was somewhat helpful, or pointed you at least in a direction.
Yeah, it was. Thank you.
Okay, it's like if you were to tell someone, hey, I went and I saw this movie, I don't think you would say, hey, you know, Julia Roberts wore this outfit and it matched with pumps, you know, but in this scene she was, you know, you just gestalt. Okay, who else would like to share? Anybody else? No? It's going to be an easy night? Oh, good. Okay, I'll just say three. Yes?
Dr. Lane?
Yes?
You hear me? This is Ed down in Florida.
Yes?
I was just going to share on the same thing. I think my phone just died.
Okay, who else? Anybody else like to share?
Yeah, Dr. Lane, this is Alice.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask if you could tell more about, or you mentioned in your talk about the world, I think it's something like the world's definition of mental health. It would be something in the lines of when thoughts and feelings are hooked up.
Right.
And I'm not sure I understood that. Do you mean when you can relate what your thoughts are or what your...
No, it's that You have an affect that matches a thought, or if you have a feeling, there's a thought with it. It's not a bunch of free-floating stuff or crazy talk or crazy feelings not related to anything going on or inside of you or associations.
I see what you mean. You're saying like when somebody's angry that they're not laughing.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And could you maybe talk a little bit about how we are able to get our minds clear? I mean, how spirit and how we work with spirit to act.
Okay, yeah, the question was how do we get our minds clear, okay? And that question concerns me, okay, because it's not an ego-driven task. You're not going to get the mind clear, okay? It's kind of like getting rid of the ego with the ego as an ego task. You're not going to do that, okay? Just do your spiritual progression, okay? And as you lift and you grow, you're going to grow beyond the mental realm. And so that'll take care of that. So it really has to do with do your spiritual progression and choose other than your thoughts. Because they're not really yours anyway. You know, you're going up and down the mental realm, hooking into this, all the stuff that's there. You know, it's nothing creative, nothing new, nothing interesting going on, that's for sure. Okay, so you do it with your progression and getting above, as it were, the mental realm. And that's how it gets cleared. Oh, okay. Was that helpful?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Okay, good. Cool. Okay, anybody else? I'll say 1, 2, 3. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Okay.